Hi, it's Michael Senoff with Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. Get ready because I have an incredible series of audio interviews. It's in four parts. Part number one is called The Secrets Millionaires Spill at J. Abraham Seminars and More from legendary marketing expert Glenn Osborne. Some time ago, while Glenn Osborne was at a $15,000 J. Abraham seminar chock full of successful marketing millionaires, he noticed a trend. Millionaire after millionaire would get up in front of the crowd and say things like, "Thank you, Jay. I just made $400 million by incorporating thank you cards into my marketing." Everyone would applaud, and the guy would sit back down. This happened time and time again and drove Glenn crazy because Glenn wasn't there to applaud. He was there to get the information. So while everyone else moved on with their day, Glenn would quietly go back to the seminar and interview millionaires for the specifics on things they were bragging about. He wanted to know how they made the $400 million using thank you cards, or how they got a 70% response rate after the fifth direct mailing, and they usually told him. So in this four-part interview, you'll hear all about the secrets Glenn learned at those seminars, along with more tips and tricks from this legend, including sneaky ways you can incorporate NLP into your marketing, how to use your best clients as a bank, the only effective way to do telemarketing, and even how to do handwriting analysis. So let's get started with part one. It's called $15,000 Seminar Seats and the Secrets Behind Them. Glenn sold seats at J. Abraham Seminars, and he was good at it. With his approach, he could sell seats to just about anyone because he realized prospects were already sold on the seminar. They just didn't have the money to go. So he would look for ways to make them money. And in part one of this audio, you'll not only hear how he did that, but you'll also get a behind-the-scenes look at the hidden secrets only the insiders at a J. Abraham seminar knew, including the one secret J. Abraham said he would keep if he had to give away all of his marketing secrets except for this one. You'll learn how to barter your way into a $15,000 seminar and actually have them pay you to go. You'll learn the one clumsy mistake J. Abraham says 98% of all people make when creating an ad. See if you're falling into this credibility-killing pitfall. You'll learn the marketing lessons you can learn from an ugly tongue contest. You'll hear about the newsletter that made Glenn $50,000 a year. You'll hear the hidden bank Glenn discovered gurus could use with their best clients. Believe it or not, there's a way you can borrow money and pay it back using products and discounts. And you'll learn the number one rule you should keep in mind when telemarketing that sells prospects on their own problems and wish lists. You're going to love this interview. Now let's get going. Hi, I'm Michael Senoff, founder and CEO of HardToFindSeminars.com. For the last 5 years, I've interviewed the world's best business and marketing minds. Along the way, I've created a successful publishing business all from home from my two-car garage. When my first child was born, he was very sick, and it was then that I knew I had to have a business that I could operate from home. Now my challenge is to build the world's largest free resource for online downloadable MP3 audio business interviews. I knew I needed a site that contained strategies, solutions, and inside angles to help you live better, to save and make more money, to stay healthier, and to get more out of life. I've learned a lot in the last 5 years, and today I'm going to show you the skills you need to survive. Hey Glenn, it's Mike Senoff.
Hey, how are you, Mike?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Usually when I'm on the phone with people, I have to warn them. I said, now, remember this. I'm going to be a little different than the usual conversation. They say, oh, yeah? I say, yeah, the ideas I'm going to be sharing are complicated. And I discovered that Harvard Business School did a study, and their big aha was that none of their students was learning anything in the complicated areas that they were studying unless they were sharing case studies.
That's right. I remember reading that.
Adding the minutia to it.
I know you wrote out to your list, well, you know, who wants to hear about me? But I'm interested in you as an information marketer, as a storyteller, as your model for marketing. I want to share with the listeners your success, some of the things you've learned, and I want to integrate these stories in there as well. So I want it to serve two purposes. And I remember when I first started buying J. Abraham stuff, I came across your stuff, and this was 15 years ago. You've been doing this a long time. So I know you've been around and you've studied a ton of stuff. So I want to know more about Glenn Osborne. You know, are you making money with this stuff? If you share how you're doing, I like your cliffhanger style storytelling technique. We could talk about that and the results of that. Your unique writing style and the way you misspell words and that whole uniqueness that you have to you.
I listened to you interview my mentor, Ben Gay.
Is he your mentor?
Yeah, he's one of them.
Great.
Yeah, guy's a genius. He's one of the two people I've ever met who had a billion-dollar way of asking for money invisibly. You know, that's valuable.
Is that through his closer book?
He uses it all the time on the phone. Well, I shared a billion-dollar talk close with him from Walter Hilly, and he told me what he did. And then I realized, oh, he's been using it on me every time I call.
Ben and I email back and forth, not all the time, but he's on my list, I'm on his list, and we communicate with each other.
Ben started the whole MLM industry, so he's a phenomenon. And he's one of two people I know that had a lot of dealings with Napoleon Hill. So right back to Andrew Carnegie, it's not that long ago.
What was his secret close?
Most people say, well, would you like to pay me some money or sign here? And people say no. Then you got to go away. All right, so Ben says, well, let me ask you a few questions. You know, he gets on the phone. He says, okay, based on what we discussed, what would you like to do next? All right, and there's a silence.
Yeah.
And you find yourself saying, well, I guess I need to buy a book, or what's the program for this, or, oh, God, man, it's dangerous.
And that's it.
That's it. And when you're talking to him, he casually name drops the fact that one of his clients he was sending his postcards to, you know, give him a percentage of a business he was helping advise on, and he sent him a check for $50 million or something. So, yeah, he's character.
He is. That's great. How far back do you go with all this marketing? Were you ever J. Abraham protege?
Here's how it started. I'd been fired from dozens of jobs. Not for doing a bad job, for scaring the boss. My father never told us, but he's a closet entrepreneur. So I didn't know that entrepreneurs are about 2% of the world, and the rest of the world are the gray, huddled masses. So we're the ones that make everything work. So I'm always trying new stuff, and that's why you'll hear some of what I'm doing. I follow what's working, not what the experts say, and that takes me to some unusual places. But anyway, I'd had a bunch of jobs, got fired every time, was driving a truck, had been plumber's helper, electrical helper, carpenter's helper, you know, a lot of trades, and found myself as coordinator, answered an ad. I was maintenance coordinator at a university here in Baltimore. We won't mention names. So what happened was there was nobody there who was working, and the reason I'd gotten fired from all my other jobs was I have this habit, I guess installed by my father, of doing the jobs of people above me, 2, 3, 4, 5 levels above me. At first, they're happy, get promoted. Then they get scared, you know, and they fire you. So pretty soon, coordinator turned into maintenance supervisor for part of the campus, and then they bought and built a couple of high-rises and apartment complexes that were the equivalent. So I jumped into that because it was a void, and I needed help.
How old were you at that time?
Just out of college, so I was in my late 20s, you know, during that time. I had a bunch of jobs, got into this university situation, and then I started looking for help. I needed ideas that worked, right? So I started buying information, and I came across a guy named Gary North, Dr. Gary North, and started buying a lot of his stuff, and I was listening to something he had called Firestorm Chats. And he interviewed this crazy man named Jay Abraham. They fought on audio. Jay wanted to control the interview, and Gary says, no, we're going to do it my way. You're in my house. You've got my audio tape. I'm the one who's got the Firestorm chat. So Jay said, okay, okay. So it turned out that this was the only audio interview with Jay Abraham that made money.
Why do you say that? Explain.
Well, controlling personality that he bowls all of his other interviews over, but not Gary. So I thought, wow. So I spent $500 and bought one of Jay's programs, the first Protege program, $15,000. So I counted my pennies and didn't tell anybody, which turned out to be brilliant because I've interviewed hundreds of J. Abraham proteges who've been fired from their jobs or had other terrible things happen when they came back and told people ideas and how much money they just spent. We got the jealousy factor and a lot more. So I didn't tell anybody. So Jay had this guarantee that if you don't make all your money back in 18 months, he will refund your 15 grand. I thought, oh, cool. And I did catch the one sentence right above the order form that said, as long as you can prove that you've implemented two or three ideas. I thought, duh, that's easy. So as soon as I got back from the first seminar, which was the first day, none of this had ever been done before. So there were people like Bob Morrison and multimillionaires from all over the world there to watch. They paid their 15 grand to try to figure out, okay, how can I do this in my business? So I didn't know right away, but we all stood up and introduced each other, and I could tell right away there was a pocket of millionaires, previous J. Abraham grads or people who are really affluent. They had a customer list. They knew about marketing. They could write. They could telemarket. You know, they had skills. So everybody else is staggering around. There were 500 of us at the first one. And every time somebody stood up and told a story about, you know, how Jay made money or whatever, when we had a break, guess where I was? I said, tell me more about how you 10 times your income with thank you notes, you know, as an insurance sales manager for three states. Because he stood up and said, you know, thank you, Jay. Give me an idea. I was able to 10 times, which turned into $400 million extra, by the way, 10 times sales in three states with thank you notes. Yay! And he sat down. Well, damn. What good is that? I was losing my mind, and I looked around. Nobody else was interested. I shot to the back of the room.
Who was it?
This is 20 years ago, so I can't remember his name. I have all of this on audio CD programs and MP3s. I don't lose it myself. I don't want to spend 6 hours on the phone with a client teaching him how to sell, you know, or whatever the problem is. So that's one of the things I do is supply $10,000 worth of my CD programs to a new client, and they learn how to get hot buttons, you know, how to do the trial close and things that they've never been taught.
So this was the beginning of it all at that Abraham seminar, 500 people. You realized there were pockets of millionaires, and you were digging deeper.
I spent all my time with the people who had the leverage. They were millionaires. Jay Abraham shared his stories in hundreds of different industries, but I discovered I couldn't apply that. The only way to learn it was do it. And the best way to get closer to that was quiz. And the people who were entrepreneurial and made a lot of money were very generous with their time, but nobody was asking. I showed up back at the room outside the door where the guy was having a smoke that made $400 million for his insurance company. You know what they gave him as a reward? They increased the number of states that he had to manage.
Were you taking notes or were you recording?
I took notes.
Did you ever call these people up after the seminar and record calls
them? Yeah, I started my own mastermind group.
Do you have hundreds of hours of these calls?
Yeah, I have 20-some. Well, I've even bartered for Jay Abraham seminars in Australia. The Australians would complain that Jay had an accent and he was hard to understand. Plus, they're more socialized over there than here. So it was illegal to advertise in Australia in a lot of businesses. So Jay really pulled out the stops, and the audio tapes from Australia are 100 times more valuable than the U.S. But I got them all. I went to 15 of Jay's events to meet self-made millionaires. So I started my newsletter list. I was charging $500 and selling collections of case studies.
When did you start your newsletter?
I guess 1990.
Was it a physical newsletter back then?
Yeah, it was snail mail, and I mailed it.
And how many subscribers at the height of it were you able to build it to?
I probably had about 100 subscribers.
How much was it?
It was $500 a year, so I was making some money. But that was what I was doing part-time. Mainly, I didn't want to lose all of this information, and I needed a way, like a journal. My journal is my free newsletter. Got thousands of case studies and things where we're making people money. Anyway, from getting fired from dozens of jobs to starting work at the university to discovering Gary North, and then Gary North got me referred to Jay Abraham, and there I discovered a nucleus of multimillionaires. Many of us were back at multiple events because we discovered the people that took action would come back and Jay would be talking about the same stuff. But we heard it differently because I was running ads for tile company owners and roofers and doing marketing. I had 200 contractors at the university. Eventually, I was assistant director. There was no director. The maintenance supervisor quit, too much work, and the housekeeping supervisor quit. So I was doing 1, 2, 3, 4 jobs and working over 100 hours. And I was getting overtime and all kinds of crazy stuff.
And you were doing this all through your J. Abraham seminar experiences.
Yeah.
You're listening to an exclusive interview found on Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com.
So I attended J. Abraham, came back, and instantly applied all of that. I had a page on all of my maintenance and housekeeping people. I knew which ones had a dream of designing women's clothing. And here they are working as a janitor, right? So I would cut things out of magazines. I'd go skim a couple hundred magazines just to see what's new. I learned to read really, really fast without attending any of the speed reading. So anyway, I was an information machine, and boy, was I flicked on autopilot high revolutions because I knew there was just a short window of time.
What do you mean a short window of time for what?
Well, but the pace Jay was doing this, his secret is also something that's not really shared among gurus. 90% of the money that all these people make is by endorsing each other to their own lists of people that trust you. So I knew Jay was going to run out of lists to get endorsements to.
Okay, give me an example. You're saying 90% of the money he makes is...
All of it. Yeah. Now, somebody asked him... You had to give away all of your marketing secrets except for one. Which one would you keep? He didn't hesitate. He said, endorsement, you know. And if you look at everything he does, a couple of years ago he did a $50,000 seminar to financial planners, I think, as a joint venture with somebody else. But how do you get $50,000 out of somebody? You have to find a long-time newsletter publisher or somebody who has absolute trust with his customers.
Who endorses you.
Yep, he endorses you, and then you say, okay, if you say I'm going to make double, triple, quadruple my 50 grand back, okay, I will send you $50,000. There's a massive amount of trust.
So you saw the writing on the wall. He already had Gary North endorse him. He already had Phillips Publishing endorse him. So he was going to eventually run out of people to endorse him.
So I also jumped on the train and started telemarketing. Selling seminars. So I sold over $1 million worth of seminars for Jay.
Oh, you were selling for Jay?
Yeah.
Oh, tell me that story. How'd that occur?
Well, I had a different method as usual. Everybody else would get, again, Jay goes through partners quickly because he burns them out. So Bill was the partner at the time.
Bill who?
We won't name names. And
Bill Clark.
You shouldn't have said that.
Because I know. Okay.
There's a lawsuit between the two.
There's a lawsuit between them?
This is 15, 20 years old.
Oh, was there a lawsuit back then?
Yeah, they tried to pull me in to court to give testimony because I was inside the machine.
What was the partnership between Abraham and Bill Clark?
It worked like a machine because each of them had their skills and they were totally different, opposite track. The Jay was the guru who planned everything, you know, big picture, and did the seminars, and Bill was the minutia guy. So I was working with Bill. He sent us 100 names of people that Tony Robbins, say, had endorsed. And our job was to telemarket through.
So you were telemarketing Tony Robbins' names to sell seats to Jay's expensive seminars.
Yes.
I see. So he wasn't selling it only through the endorsement letters of Tony Robbins and these tapes. He was on the phone telemarketing as well.
Tony gave Jay his list, and we called him. So most of the sales happened over the phone.
See, I was unaware of that. That's interesting information.
Well, a small amount would get excited. They're in a lot of pain, and they might buy something. But that was me. You know, I got a 50-page sales letter, was subscribing to Gary North's Firestorm Chat, and thought, wow, this is exactly what I need. I'm in a lot of pain. I'm doing 5 jobs. I need to get the heck out of here.
So you and myself, the way I got involved, were looking, and we're the small minority. The majority were telemarketed through an operation, a telemarketing campaign.
And since I was doing it, I discovered the secret was you got to find what people want and what they want to get away from. There's a pain and a problem and also an opportunity. So You needed both, and you needed to figure out what it was.
But Bill Clark was handling all these operations, and you were one of his telemarketers.
Yeah.
Can you share what kind of deal you struck? Like, would you just get a percentage?
We'd get a percentage of everything we did. Yeah, we send it every week because I wanted my money. You send in a list of what you closed. So that was the start.
But each one of the protégés also had the rights to resell all of Jay's programs for profit.
It wasn't that way at the beginning, but quickly Jay would send us a letter and say, by the way, we've had several people make money by bringing people to the event. So if you bring somebody here, you know, we'll give you a percentage of the 15 grand. And quickly, we burnt through the number of people who would pay 15, so it dropped to 5. So you'd get a percentage.
What kind of percentage was he paying out? If you brought someone to a $15,000 seminar.
If you brought somebody to a $5,000 seminar, you'd get $500.
So 10%.
Yeah. So I wasn't involved in the joint ventures at the 15 grand level. I was still going back trying to learn this stuff. But I quickly learned, wow, I could do what Jay is doing. So people say, I called up and wanted to barter for a seat, and they said, they don't barter. I said, you said it wrong. What you do is call up and say, I have a $15,000 check in my hand for somebody I sold. I know it only costs $50 to rent a chair at the DoubleTree. So would you pay me $50 for a $15,000 check and let me come to the seminar for free? I did that 15 times.
What did they get?
I only dealt with the number one sales guy. So he and I developed a relationship.
The number one sales guy for Abraham Seminars?
Yeah.
So a fellow telemarketer who was number one?
Yeah, he worked for Jay.
Can I ask who that was?
No, we're not going to get into names. There's too much acrimony involved in all of this.
All right.
There's big money. There's a lot of ill will.
I don't understand how Abraham gives you a seat to his seminar, but what is he getting in return?
He's getting $15,000.
He's getting that in cash.
I'd call up and say, I got referred from my number one sales guy. He couldn't close somebody. He says, this is a good prospect. But I can't close them. You know, if you help me, you know, you get a free seat, you get to come to the seminar. I just saved $5,000.
Oh, the number one salesperson, if he couldn't close someone, he would call you to close the deal.
I was the only one who did this.
So if you closed the deal, you got to go to the seminar for free.
Yep.
I got you. Now I'm clear. And so you did this 15 times.
$15,000, win-win. He got his sales percentage because nobody knew it was me for that sale, so he got paid. Everybody's happy.
So this guy knew you could close and sell.
I did it differently than all the rest of them. What I did was make everybody he referred me to money. They sold seats. I made him so much money that they said, okay, I got to come to this seminar. So I had a woman said, well, I don't have any money, but I've got this piece of property, 20 acres by the river, if you could help me sell it. So I wrote an ad, sold in 48 hours. The headline, as I remember, was something like, must sell riverfront property to go to $15,000 seminar. We told the truth. That's one of the wise things that Jay shared. I don't know, it's way up there. 95% of the other people trying to sell stuff create a fake reason why, or don't even have a reason why. For example, they say, you know, if you don't buy it now, the price goes up tomorrow. Or they'll email and say, we have 3 days left, you know, we're counting down, just for fun. For example, Dan Kennedy. I called up the day after the event was over and said, I'm terribly sorry, but I'm late. I know you probably can't sell it to me, but I've got $1,000 here. I wanted to buy it. They sold it to me.
Sure. Tell me how you sold the woman's property. So give me an example. Let me lay out the situation. Your top salesman couldn't close someone. He says, Glenn, I need help closing. If you close this woman, I'll get the commission. You get to come to the $15,000 seminar free, or the $5,000 or the $10,000. So instead of asking her for money, you approach her and look for ways that you could help her make the money.
I said, how can we make you a bunch of money so that you can take part of it and come to this event, which will change your life? So she was at Tony Robbins, so we used that endorsement. Jay had already mailed her some stuff, probably, so she was aware. She just didn't have the cash. So I made her the cash. I wrote the headline and the ad.
She gave you the idea of possible ways, so she said, I have this.
Well, yeah, what have you got? We're looking for leverage. That's something else that I have that nobody else has. I have a list of 10 or 15 instant money shortcuts. Because I was working with somebody that wanted his money back, and Bill or somebody didn't want to refund the money. So they said, okay, we're going to give you this, we're going to give you that, and, you know, they started throwing money-making ideas at him. So he told me, hey, look at this. I've got all this insider information.
I need you to elaborate on that. There was someone who maybe wants their money back. Bill doesn't want to give the money back, so instead he just adds more value.
I'll tell you the story. Each of these has a case study to it. And as I told you, when I'm on the phone with somebody, I warn them. I say, look, Harvard Business School did a study which proved that when they share case studies, you know, stories with all the minutiae and the detail, their students get A's. You know, they remember it, they retain it, but if you don't have it within a case study, it gets lost. And this is how I learn personally. So, you know, I share them with other people. So, anyway, I found this guy who was a young whippersnapper. He was about 21, been to the J. Abraham $15,000 seminar. He starts doing consulting. You know, guy says, okay, I'll pay you $25,000 for this and $15,000 for that. And the second client, third client, he shows up, you know, to get his check. And they say, okay, I know you did a great job, but how old are you? I've got shoes older than you. They tear up the check right under his nose. So he called Bill up and says, I want my money back. It's not working. All right, now, if he'd called me, I had already interviewed Joe Sugarman, and Joe said, oh, that happened to me too. All I did was go to a actor's guild, find an actor who was 50 and gray, pay him $100, use an example of a ski resort. They owed him $150,000. So I go in, says, hello, this is the CEO of my company, and I'm the salesperson, and we'd like to talk to so-and-so and get the check. The 50-year-old actor would do his thing, get the envelope. He didn't know he had $150,000 in the envelope. Joe Sugarman would pay the guy's $100, and he'd happily turn the envelope over. Joe would march off with $150,000, and the actor would take his $100 and go get a beer. Well, we didn't know that, so Bill said, oh, God, we don't want to refund $15,000. What can we do? He said, well, here's a list of 10 magic money shortcuts within any business that you want to look for that nobody else knows about, just Jay. And here's a letter that Jay uses to make a few $100,000 on the side, and it's got a secret to it where you get paid no matter what. You can guarantee results, do a lousy job rewriting their ad, and you still get paid, you know. So I was helping the guy. He jumped into three companies that I knew. He bought up a tanning salon out of bankruptcy, started a newsletter, and then merged it with where you go in and you rent movies and stuff. What do you call it?
Video rental.
Video rental, right. Thank you. So have you ever seen a video rental and a tanning salon under one roof? He did it, and he created a monster of a hit, turned it from bankruptcy into millions of dollars, and then he sold it. He called up laughing. He said, Glenn, you're never going to believe what happened. I said, what? I sold my tanning salon video rental and met some guy who used to be a customer saying, hey, what happened? I said, what do you mean, what happened? And he said, I couldn't understand what he was talking about. But then the guy who bought it called me up, said, hey, we got a guy who's got a complaint. Do you have a list of your customers? I said, wait a minute, I left you a list on the computer. You know, it's right there. Oh, we needed the space, and we deleted that. And, you know, we'll call him Gary. Gary says, what? You deleted the customer list? You know, he says he staggered over and had to sit down.
Yeah, I'm lost, okay? You had the young consultant who was unsuccessful, and he had clients wanting the money back. Bill says, here's some secrets that'll help you get paid.
Right.
Now take me from there. For more exclusive interviews on business, marketing, advertising, and copywriting, go to Michael Senoff's hardtofindseminars.com.
All right. So he explained, well, number one, Bill or somebody gave him the advice of find an older man to go with you if you insist on picking up the check.
And he did that.
Another way to do it is send the Federal Express. Federal Express has a special service where you can send an envelope and then call them. You know exactly when they're going to arrive. You're on the phone with them, and they write the check, stick it in the envelope, and Federal Express brings it back to you. I've used that many times.
Does that still exist?
Yeah. Most people don't know about it, but it really works good. There's a significant number of older people that won't PayPal or do anything. They will only work by check. Maybe they'll throw some cash.
So these were some secrets that Bill shared with the young consultant to appease him so he wouldn't want his money back.
Yeah, I found out about him because I was working about the same time. I found out that this guy was doing things.
But before we go into another story, so what ultimately happened with the young guy?
I helped him through three different iterations. He kept buying and starting businesses.
Okay, so this was the young guy who bought the tanning salon and he merged it with the video rental and made...
Back to the beginning. Number one, when I first talked to him, he was laughing. He says, Glenn, you'll never believe what happened. I said, I'll believe it. What happened? I came back from J. Abraham. I was a salesperson for a, what do you call it, really expensive cars. They're old Model Ts and all kinds of stuff. So this guy was working as an auctioneer, I guess. So he was doing sales for that. Came back and he had this brilliant idea. So I walked in and said, wow, we ought to do this. We can start another division. And within 24 hours, an attorney called him up and says, you are on permanent layoff. We're not firing you. You're just laid off permanently. So he said he watched, and turned out they wanted his idea, but they didn't want to pay. So he got thrown out of his job. I've talked to dozens of J. Abraham people that that happened to. You don't want to talk about things without finding out where the lay of the land is. One of the first things I advise people now to do is use my instant handwriting system to find out who's got a bunch of hell traits, if they're a pathological liar and a bunch of other problems. Anyway, so that was number one. He instantly got fired from his current job. So then he was doing some work with a couple companies he had trouble getting paid from. You know, Bill told him how to get the check. All right. Then I came in and he was working with Harley Davidson store, and he had 10 times their income there by doing joint ventures. And then he met some beautiful brunette, got married, and moved to a really ritzy area. And this is hysterical. He bought a bar that was not doing well, and he put an entire wall using affluent male ego against themselves. He put together a recipe book of 1,001 martinis. Have you ever been into a place where they've got the names of all of your best customers? And who's drunk the most different martinis out of the total 1,001?
I've never seen that.
Well, there's a lot of places where if you go in, they'll have a coffee mug with your name on it. You know, if you become a good customer, you come in every morning for breakfast. There's a whole wall of coffee mugs.
So he built this wall. What was on the wall? Customers?
Well, it's like you go in and you play pinball. The guy who's got the highest score has got his name on the machine. Okay, so it's pinball. He's using that psychology. So he says it's a terrible thing, but these guys are bored. They got all this money. They don't have anything to do. So they just come in and drink martinis and say, okay, now I'm number one. Well, then he comes back the next day. Somebody's passed him. So he's selling martinis like crazy to these guys to say that they're number one at the top of the pyramid.
Would he put their picture up on the wall?
Put a picture up. I've done this with restaurants, roller rinks, all kinds of stuff, you know, because they've got a food concession. So we'll have the ugliest tongue contest. Have a picture of some kid who has combined some purple drink and some green, and he sticks his tongue out, and we take a picture. And he's on the wall, right? Man, we're selling drink like crazy because they want to be on the wall with the ugliest tongue. It works.
I like that.
Okay, but in return for helping this guy with this, and he was paying me consulting fees, he also shared, you know, what he got that was inside the secret marketing world of J. Abraham and Bill. That's how I got a hold of it. So to my knowledge, I'm the only one, plus Gary, that has it.
So you can't share with me who the star Abraham consultant was?
No, I'd rather not.
Is he still out there?
Yeah, he's still out there. But there's a whole bunch of star Abraham consultants. It's not just him. There are thousands of them. They're doing their thing, but what I've done is link up with as many as possible and stay in touch. So I have a mastermind group that is shared with hundreds of other entrepreneurs. That's the source of a lot of my information.
When did you get off the physical newsletter and go digital, online?
There's another lesson. You learn best by making mistakes. I had a partner at the time. I went to Jay with another guy who said, I'll do all the mailing and a lot of the other stuff, and you collect all the stories and write them up, and, you know, we'll team up. Say, okay. So after about a year, I couldn't get him on the phone.
Just so I'm clear, you had a partner who was going to work with you, and both of you went to Jay.
Yeah. We got permission to start a newsletter based on case studies from proteges.
And Jay granted you guys a license to be able to do that.
No, it was all unofficial. We just wanted permission. There were two or three other people doing it, too.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody else survived. Nobody else could do it as well as I could. I can tell a story. As you can probably tell, you have to interrupt and say, okay, wait a minute, what's the rest of the story? You know, because one story interrupts another. Jay and I have that in common. If you're ever in a room with Jay, you have stacked case studies and integrated case studies and linked. And it's like a 3D Rolodex type situation. We've got stories coming in a mastermind fashion. The guy is really a genius at pulling information out of people. One thing reminds you of the next and the next. So when I'm doing a consultation, what I do is write down a list of case studies that I want to share, and I can stay on it like a laser beam. If you just call me, I'm in the middle of writing a sales letter or something, like we're doing here.
Well, I'm trying to get a little history on you. So you were on the inside of the Abraham seminar circuit.
I wouldn't call it on the inside. There really is no inside.
You were one of the insiders.
Yeah, I was one of the people that was selling seminars like crazy, and they valued me at the time. And I knew what Jay was doing. Something else he did that was brilliant. He would borrow money from proteges to pay for the mailings to the next joint venture person, and then he would pay them, you know, a profit back. So I raised, probably $500,000 worth of money. People would say, okay, I'll give Jay $50,000. I'll invest, and you're going to pay me back, you know, more than I would get in the bank, so whatever it was.
Was he able to pay back?
Yeah, it took longer than he thought. He thought he'd be able to pay it back in a month, and it probably took 6 months, but they got it all. He didn't have to take his own money. He was borrowing customers' money to do mailings and do marketing to get the next group of people into the event. And I thought, wow, I like this. So I actually applied this for clients. I had a pharmacy client. We started a bank. And he said, what do you mean? You're going to start a bank for me? I said, yeah. What we're going to do is mail a letter to your best clients that you know are spending thousands of dollars a month with you on vitamins and everything. And we're going to say, look, you're getting less than 1% on your money in the bank. We're going to pay you a lot more than that, you know, 5% or 10% or whatever. Return on your money, but send us a check. And we have these ads that we've got to buy, and we'll buy these things with your money, and you get a big discount on your nutraceuticals and vitamins and stuff. See, we made it up in stuff that they were already buying. We didn't even have to pay them money. So they said, wow, that would be great. So I make more money. The pharmacist was getting hundreds of thousands of dollars from his top clients in borrowed money. Oh, I called up his number one supplier, the drug supplier, and said we'd like to visit and see the factory because we'd never been there. And the man misunderstood. Shows you how they live on fear. He misunderstood the reason for my call, and I was talking to the sales manager. So he immediately called Alan, my pharmacy client, and said, I don't know why you're calling up wanting to visit, but you probably are thinking of switching to another drug supplier. So tell you what, we're going to let you have $100,000 in cash for a year with no interest.
Wow.
So Alan calls me literally giggling. He says, what did you do to this poor guy? He just gave me $100,000. So Alan sent me $10,000 as a thank you for getting him a $100,000 loan. I didn't know I was doing it, but it turned out I hit this pain button of a whole bunch of people calling, threatening to quit. I didn't have that in mind. The guy assumed that that's why I called him. It was funny.
That is funny. So was Abraham making millions with his seminars?
Oh, yeah. Well, think about it. 500 people times $15,000, you know, we're all doing the math.
That's the end of part one series with Glenn Osborne. Please continue to part two.